Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic Community and their guests. Today's speaker is Chaplain Nancy Greenfield of the Catholic Community. It is the 21st Sunday of Ordinary Time. The readings are from Cycle A.
There's an old story that's been floating around theological circles forever. It's a slightly different version of this gospel episode. And in this definitely apocryphal story, Jesus says to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "You are the Messiah." Emboldened by Jesus' look of approval, Peter expands. "You are the Logos, the Word incarnate, the second person of the Blessed Trinity." Warming to his topic, Peter goes on. "You are the realization of the eschaton. You," he continues, "are the bearer and goal of the upward movement of the universe toward the divine. You are the omega point. You," he finishes triumphantly, "you are the decisive and climactic moment in God's self-transcendental communication to mankind." And Jesus looks at him and says, "What? Okay, I made that up." But you know, each of those descriptions, which are valid descriptions, by the way, of the identity of Jesus, theologically speaking, each of those descriptions came out of years, sometimes hundreds of years, of trying to figure out just who Jesus is. And I guess we could fool around with words for another several hundred years and not nail down the essence of the real Jesus any better than Peter did. What we sometimes don't get is that we aren't asked to give the theologically perfect answer. However, each of us, as Christians, are asked to respond to the question. To get back to our story, Peter, the first disciple to call Jesus the Messiah, was demonstrating a rather revolutionary understanding that the Messiah sent by God was not a king or a military leader, but an itinerant preacher with no money, no power at all. This Messiah was not sent by God to destroy the Romans, vindicate the Jews, and give them back autonomy over the land. Instead, this Messiah came to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to release prisoners, and to announce a year of favor from the Lord. Now, in many ways, Peter, especially the pre-resurrection Peter, was a flawed individual. Impulsive, ambitious, sometimes even prone to violence. What did Jesus see in him? I think there are two things. First, Peter understood, even if a bit dimly, that Jesus' main message was that God's ways are different from the ways of humanity, and that Jesus, through his unique relationship to God, was sent to proclaim God's kingdom, a kingdom where the rule of competition and force is replaced by the rule of compassion and love. Jesus' whole life, as Peter understood it, was testimony to the heart of God, a heart that forgives, that cares, that reaches out, and wants to heal. Secondly, what I think Jesus saw in Peter despite Peter's many flaws, was a heart big enough to encompass all of humanity. Peter had the capacity to love and to care. And in the Gospel of John, after the resurrection, you probably remember the incident where they're cooking fish by the side of the lake. And Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And Jesus' response to Peter was not simply to take that answer, but to say, "Then feed my lambs, feed my sheep." See, it was not enough for Peter just to say the right words, "Yes, Lord, I love you." Peter had to respond when Jesus entrusted his fledgling group of followers to him. That was his job. That was his commission, his mission. And the cost, as we learn in the Acts of the Apostles, was enormous. Jesus called on Peter to lead this community of followers, which eventually became what we call the church, in bringing about a kingdom of justice and peace in tumultuous and difficult times. Peter became the embodiment of generosity, of forgiveness, and compassion for his flock of believers that were strung all across the Eastern Mediterranean. And Peter's way of being church can be the ideal model for our church throughout the ages. And our church, with all its flaws, and we have to admit there are many, has stood out as a refuge for those who had nowhere else to go. And without ignoring or sweeping under the rug the excesses of extravagance that existed throughout the church's history in certain quarters, we must also acknowledge the church's call to deal with both the effects and the causes of justice, of injustice, of cruelty, of poverty, and of war. In recent years, this has become a clarion call and a definitive mission for the entire church. In his first encyclical, Pope Benedict XVI put service to the poor and love of neighbor on the very same level as the administration of the sacraments and the proclamation of the word. That's saying a lot. We are called to share in the compassionate work of the present church to alleviate suffering, whether it be in East Africa or East Palo Alto, to feed those starving because of war, drought, economic uncertainty, and the cruelty of others. We are called to bring food security and medical help to those least able to access it for themselves. Church organizations, or organizations I should say affiliated with our church, such as the Catholic Worker, St. Anthony's Dining Room on a local level, or Catholic Charities and Catholic Relief Services on a national and international level, invite us as individuals and as church to share in creating the kingdom that Jesus envisioned when he said to Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom." And then it comes down to you and me. And we have to ask ourselves the same question. Who is Jesus for me? And do I really believe that Jesus speaks for God? Once you decide, as Peter did, that Jesus speaks for God, then you have to take seriously what Jesus says. And here are some of the things that Jesus had to say about the kingdom, about God's will. "Blessed are the poor. Woe to you rich. Forgive your brother 70 times 7. Do good to those who hurt you. Stop judging that you may not be judged. You cannot serve God and money. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. If we take Jesus seriously, then like Peter, we're going to have to change our way of looking at how we do things. As individuals, as members of a church community, and as citizens of the world. We must each come face to face with the mystery of Jesus, and in the attempt to define Jesus, I think we wind up defining ourselves. So who is Jesus for me? I have to admit that the answer's been different depending on what was going on in my life at the time and what God wanted me to understand at any given time. At this moment, Jesus is for me the model of the compassion of God. He not only preached compassion, but he lived it. He turned his attention to the poor, the outcast, those in sorrow, and those without hope. And I think I'm called to do the same in my own limited and imperfect way. Compassion, in the words of Nouwen, asks us to go where it hurts, to enter into the places of pain, to share in brokenness, fear, confusion, and anguish. Compassion, I think, however, also requires more than emotion. It requires action. It requires that we try to make the situation better through generosity, through sweat equity, through examining and working to change unjust political and economic structures, which have led to so much suffering in the first place. At some point, like Peter, I'm called to answer Jesus' question for myself. And the answer I give will largely determine not just how I think about God and Jesus, but how I order my life. What matters, what doesn't, who matters, who doesn't. It means conforming my life to the life of Christ. It's not easy, and I will fail a lot. In fact, I have failed a lot. And the world may never understand what I'm doing. But it's the only way I know of to respond to the question, who do you say that I am?
This edition of Catholic Cardinal Reflections has been sponsored by Anne Toto II, The Wizard of Oz as a Spiritual Venture by our pastor-director, Father Nathan Castle, O.P. Thank you for listening to the Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu. This is Father Isaiah Mary Milano, O.P., Associate Director, Parochial Vicar of the Catholic Community at Stanford, and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Till next time, God bless you.